You're listening to The Scene on Illinois Edition. I'm Rachel Otwell.
And I'm Scott Fangold. I'm here representing the Illinois Times. I do arts and culture reporting for them. And I think Rachel does something similar here at Illinois Edition. Is that right, Rachel?
It's true. I do. Yep, I cover arts and culture for the Springfield area and the central Illinois area in general. And Scott does the same. So here we are.
Yep, every week.
Same time, same place.
Right, we get together and we let people know the things we've noticed that have crossed our viewfinder about what's happening this coming weekend and beyond. This is a pretty exciting weekend. It is the 4th of July weekend, which extends to Monday, being the 4th. Springfield has a pretty exciting event going on Saturday and Sunday, the Capital City Celebration. Big 4th of July deal, replete with fireworks. I like to say replete at least once a year. I usually do it in July. There's a bunch of stuff happening over there. There's going to be a 25-foot tall inflatable rock wall. There's going to be a bags tournament on Saturday afternoon. It's going to be the Capital Takeover, which is a CrossFit competition. Fun DMC and Hip Bone Sam are going to play. It's just going to be one big party out there. So check that out. That is on Saturday and Sunday of this weekend.
The first Friday art show that happens in downtown Springfield. It got started at the Cafe Brio, and that goes from 7 to 9 p.m. this month. The featured artists are Albert Weckworth, old friend of mine, and he does lots of stuff with ink and watercolors and likes to draw from classic horror movie inspirations, as well as just the weird stuff that comes straight out of his own weird brain, so that's fun. Ted Keelan, another offbeat, eccentric, awesome guy in the area, right, Scott?
Yep, that's Ted Keelan, all right. You got him down.
And then Stonzy Grady is the other featured artist of the month, and that person I will have to find out more about on Friday. Looking forward to that. So don't miss that at Cafe Brio in Springfield on Friday.
That's right.
And then, Scott, something happening.
In Champaign at the Art Theater, very exciting late night movie. Their movies are not midnight. They're 10 o'clock when they have their late night shows. And this week, on Friday and Saturday, they're going to be showing The Lady from Shanghai, great Orson Welles movie. Most people who know about Orson Welles usually know about Citizen Kane, and then legend is he kind of nosedived from there. But he actually made a bunch of other great movies in the 40s and beyond. He was also later one of the first real indie filmmakers doing his own thing with self-financed work. But this movie is from 1947. It's an amazing film noir, one of the very finest examples of that genre, with a great performance by Orson Welles in spite of a ridiculous Irish accent he keeps up through the whole movie, and Rita Hayworth as almost the ultimate femme fatale. All right, well, that can only mean one thing. Those kids are very excited every time we're going to do Culture Corner. And Culture Corner is when Rachel and I come on and tell you what kind of stuff we're into, just what we're doing with our leisure time, just kind of like, since we're your sort of culture mavens, like, what do we like otherwise? You know, what are we doing the rest of the time with our bad selves? So speaking of bad selves, there's a very bad self who just had some music released. That was Bette Davis, not to be confused with the film actress, Bette Davis with a Y rather than an E. And Betty. She was a funk progenitor. She used to be married to Miles Davis, and she put out several amazing records. But she had done some sessions with Miles in the late 60s that never came out. Until this week, there's a new record that's just been released. It's actually only on vinyl and CD. It just came out this past week, called The Lost Columbia Sessions of Bette Davis. Bette Davis was a huge influence on artists like Erykah Badu and Prince. Here's a taste of Bette Davis and give you an idea of why I'm so excited about this reissue. They say I'm different cause I eat shit, man. So I can't help it. I was born and raised on a match rider every morning. Have to slop the hogs and maybe get off humping the Jolly Hooker. Get it on.
Nation. The B.B. King and Jimmy Ray rock on that. And that's why they say I'm different.
That was Bette Davis with her song They Say I'm Different. Just to give you a taste of what her music is like, the newly released recordings feature Miles Davis, Herbie Hancock, and other musicians playing that similar kind of funk, which she was the specialist and progenitor of. So check that out.
All right. And for me, I had a few different family members all at different times ask me if I saw the movie Spotlight yet. And I had no idea what they were talking about because this movie went right over my little head. But it was released in 2015, and it is based on a true story, not a documentary, which I feel like I usually talk about. But it's based on a true story, so it's still biographical. But anyway, so it follows a team of journalists. They go by Spotlight, in case you were curious. And in the early 2000s, they investigated what they thought was going to be the case of one priest, Catholic priest, who had molested kids, had been found to do that, and then got moved around. And so it started with, you know, maybe this is just a case of one bad apple, so to speak, and just kind of unravels from there. They get a new editor who wants them to look into it further, and as they do, they realize it's more of a systemic problem in Boston and across the country and then across the world. The movie was okay. Honestly, it's like not one that
we went to see it and we were so disappointed because it was a good story, but it was so dramatically lax. Considering how many great actors and stuff were in it, and I really liked that Tom McCarthy's other movie, so we were really excited. If the story had been about Stanley Tucci's character, it would have been so much more interesting.
Exactly. I felt like it was lacking a little bit. At the end, I was like, oh my gosh, that was really the end.
Right. Exactly. It didn't. And it was so acclaimed, and we were so disappointed.
Well, I'm glad it went over my head then, so I didn't have too many things, you know. I wasn't all like, oh my God, it's going to be amazing.
Yeah.
But I will mention what it made me think of was something that I has stuck with me. It's a Frontline documentary, PBS Frontline documentary. Back to those, called Secrets of the Vatican. And it really gets into the nitty gritty. It's something that's disturbing, which is why it stayed with me for so long. But right off the bat, they get into the systemic issue that molestation is. And I guess it's very possible that they were in part inspired by the journalism team at Spotlight and the Boston Globe, who looked into this before PBS had this documentary, which was from 2015. But anyway, it talks about the challenges that face Pope Francis as he tried to reform the Vatican bureaucracy and root out corruption, and how kind of self-governing the Vatican is, and how that has resulted in some very bad things taking place and just being swept under the rug, and how people were too afraid to stand up and speak out. And so here's the trailer for Secrets of the Vatican. And if you saw Spotlight and you're wanting to learn a little bit more, definitely would recommend this one if you haven't seen it yet.
Next time on Frontline.
Pope Francis comes on the scene at a time when the church is in a deep crisis.
He wants to change the direction of the church. It's risky to take on the Vatican Curia.
Cash travels across the Atlantic in the direction of Rome, not in the other direction.
If you tell anybody, your parents will burn in hell.
All roads lead to Rome and to the papacy.
Secrets of the Vatican.
So as you might be able to tell just from that little trailer, the documentary really dives in deep to a multitude of the systemic issues that have taken place through the Vatican and then filtered down throughout various places where the Catholic faith is practiced. So perhaps maybe you saw Spotlight and haven't heard of this one. So if it piqued your interest, this would definitely be one to check out. And we'll link to the Frontline documentary in our post. That will be on the Illinois Edition Facebook page. Just look for the recent post about the scene. On to some brighter topics. Now we're joined in the studio by a couple members of a band we're going to learn more about. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hi. Hello.
Can you introduce yourselves for us, please?
I'm Lucas, and this is Kevin, and we're in Fill in the Blank.
And I'm Kevin. Oh, he already said that. Yeah, we're in Fill in the Blank.
Cool. Do you guys have last names?
Lucas Myers.
Oh, yeah, so. Carmen. My last name is Kevin Carmen. My first name's Kevin. My last name's Carmen.
So we have verified these are actual real-life people in studio with us.
95% sure.
And so what's the Fill in the Blank? Where'd the name come from?
We started this back in our sophomore year of high school, and originally we were called The Color of Epic is Purple. And a few years before us, there was a band called Purple Trans Am who, when all this was going around, we were both just cover bands. And whenever we started, we got accused of being a Purple Trans Am cover band because we had purple in our name. And then we also played similar covers, like same pop punk, fun, upbeat covers. And I got mad at a practice one time and I was like, we'll just call ourselves Fill in the Blank and they can just, you know, think whatever name they want of us. And it's kind of stuck.
Yeah.
Lucas was really excited about that name. It was the greatest idea ever.
I did freak out. It was an accident.
So how long has the band been around then?
Like 4 years.
Yeah, roughly.
Maybe 5.
Great. And what kind of music do you do?
Now we're just pretty much alt rock. We started out pretty pop punk with like heavy Blink-182 influences, but now we're just heavy Blink-182 influences, and now we're just, I don't know, we're just expanding our horizons, trying to not stick to one genre. Like
we're like sad elevator music.
Yeah.
Just yeah. Anything that's not
you guys
happy.
Guys really sell yourself.
Yeah.
That's the pull quote right there. Come out to the Black Sheep for Fill in the Blank and their sad elevator music.
Exactly.
That's how I've been advertising.
We've matured
it.
Over the years.
That's right. So what are some of the, as you've moved from the Blink 182 thing, what are some of the other bands that might be touchstones for where you're at now if people want to make an association?
Well, as far as like guitar tones, I know it doesn't sound like a huge jump, but like I just recently discovered Weezer and we were sort of moving in that way. I know, I just recently discovered Weezer. Yeah, I'm very young, but but we're just sort of moving towards, they have that looser sort of feel and just more processed stuff. And he's, Kevin's a jazz guy, so the more he learns with tones and different chords and expansion, and the more he learns the guitar, the more we sort of open up. Like the song on the album Ghost Girl is...
It's pretty jazz-influenced in my opinion.
Yeah.
Like, since I've been going to Lincoln Land for, and I was a music major, like all the lessons that I've learned there in the past 2 years, it's really like broadened me as a player. And I take a lot of influence from like John Mayer and a lot of blues players, I feel. So that's, I mean, basically where I'm come from.
And I just, I read.
Hope what you play is right. Sounds good.
Right. I am a bass player in the loosest definition of the word. But I sort of just read a lot. And then write lyrics. I read a lot of David Foster Wallace and then just write lyrics that remind me of the tone that he sets.
So you've got some jazz and blues influences, you've got some literary influences, sort of mixing it up into a thing that sounds like it could be pretty exciting.
We try to have fun and produce energy, but also, you know, have a catchy tag at the same time. We're not trying to sell a product, but we're trying to have fun.
What are you talking about? I'm trying to sell our product.
Sorry.
That's why we are here, sir.
So you guys have an album release show at the Black Sheep in Springfield on July 2nd, which is Friday.
Lit. It's Saturday.
Saturday.
It's this Saturday.
Yeah.
Great. And so it's called I Heart Mom.
Mm-hmm.
All one word.
That's endearing.
Yeah. It has nothing to do with our mothers.
Oh.
Keep in mind the sad elevator music we talked about earlier.
So what can people expect who are going to show up for that, though?
Well, we got a nice list of bands. We got a couple of touring acts that are there.
Yeah, One's called Tomorrow's End. And from my understanding, they're like a Christian rock band. So I'm interested to see how that's going to mesh in the whole Black Sheep scene. Mm-hmm. And then the next one is The Great Indoors. And
I've heard some of their stuff. It's really good. And then we've got bands that
Stereostatic,
I believe you've covered before, mm-hmm. and the Locals.
The Locals. So yeah. it's going to be full of good music.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if we provide it, I don't know, but the rest of the bands will definitely provide that good music. And it's going to be high energy, I think,
yeah.
in some moments, and then some moments it's going to be really chill and
that's
nice.
A diverse range of sounds is what we're going for.
Great. So we are going to feature one of your songs as our song of the week right now. Tell us what the song's called and a little bit of the backstory before we play it.
The song's called Ghost Girl. And like we mentioned earlier, it's sort of a jazzier piece. It's playing on not exactly past experiences, but like a sum total of my life, like looking for security and safety in relationships where you're definitely not going to find it. You know, trying to rely on another individual to make you more of a person where you really need to find that in yourself. Sort of the addictive nature of relationships.
This is where all the listeners just rolled their eyes.
All right. Well, so we'll let people, you know, form their own judgments here, guys. Here is the song Ghost Girl by the band Fill in the Blank from Taylorville.
Oh, I'm incomplete, don't you know? Standing there alone. Oh no, I'm in the heat, but there's snow on my feet. Can you see me standing there alone? And the ghost girl's calling.
sand. And the child